Grace and peace are yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. The word of God for our study and meditation for this Epiphany of our Lord is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 2 through 12. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that, through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. This is God's word. In the name of Christ Jesus, through whom God's love and salvation is completely revealed, dear Christian friends, this weekend we are celebrating the Epiphany of our Lord. We're commemorating that special moment in which Magi from the East traveled to worship the Christ child in Bethlehem. That's a story that's shrouded in some mystery, in some unanswered questions. For example, who exactly were these Magi? What country exactly did they come from? How many of them were there exactly? What was that star like that they saw up in the sky? There's a lot of mystery wrapped around this story of the Magi. But as you heard in the beginning of our service here tonight, Epiphany is not about mystery and unanswered questions. Rather, the word Epiphany means revelation, something revealed. And in our lesson here tonight, we find out from the Apostle Paul not about an ongoing mystery unsolved, but about a mystery, the greatest mystery, that is revealed and solved for all. When we hear that word mystery, we usually think about, perhaps some stories that we've read, maybe about Sherlock Holmes, about someone with a keen ability to observe things and use logic. And when it's time to solve all of those questions, he says, "Elementary, my dear Watson," and then gives the answer to the mystery. Well, in our lesson, the Apostle Paul talks about a mystery that he didn't discover on his own and figure out on his own. Paul talks about it in this way when he says, "Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation." So Paul is not bragging here as though he's some Sherlock Holmes who's done so much research and observation of things that now he's come to the knowledge and to all those unanswered questions and now is ready to reveal it to the Ephesian Christians. No, Paul says, "This administration of God's grace was given to me for you." He, first of all, says it was an administration of God's grace, an undeserved gift that God had given to him. God, in his love, revealed to Paul an answer to an important mystery. Paul didn't do anything to deserve it, and we know why. Because Paul the Apostle used to be Saul, the persecutor of God's church, the one who traveled from city, to village, to home, arresting Christians, bringing them to trial so that they might be punished for following Christ. But then Jesus, in his undeserved love, confronted Paul on the road to Damascus and with blinding light brought Paul to repentance, called him to faith in him and his forgiveness, gave him that undeserved gift. But like so many things that God gives to us, he doesn't want us to keep it to ourselves. And so it was with the Apostle Paul. As Paul says, this gift was now given to me for you. In particular, God called Paul to now go out and reach out to the Gentile world. Gentile is just a fancy word for those who were not Jewish people, people who were not descendants of the nation of Israel. God had called Paul specifically to reach out to those people, to go from city, to village, to talk to them, to share with them the good news of Jesus Christ, to bring them the mystery, the answer to the mystery long awaited. And what was that mystery? Paul said this. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. What an amazing mystery solved and revealed. For generation after generation, God had set apart the people of Israel from all the other nations of the world. He had set up specific rules for them to follow. He had given them a specific promise that through them, the Savior would come. But now that promise was fulfilled. And now that past relationship was no more. Paul was saying, now in the eyes of God, there is no difference between Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, rich or poor. We're all the same in God's eyes, recipients of his grace and mercy in Christ. Or Paul said it in three different ways in our lesson. We are co-heirs, Paul says. Co-heirs. In other words, as Gentiles, we're not like the dog sitting at the foot of the table hoping to get scraps from the master's table, but rather we now have every right to be at that table of God's mercy and forgiveness in Christ. He says we are also members of the same body, meaning whether we speak Jewish or some other language, even though we might have different colored skin or wear different clothes or have different customs, in God's eyes, that matters nothing. What counts is that we are members together of the same body, the body of those who receive God's grace and mercy in Christ Jesus. And he says we are co-sharers in God's promise. Behind that word is the picture of being co-owners. Sometimes people will rent a certain vehicle hoping to appear to be someone that they are not. Not so with you and me. We're not renters with the hope of receiving something important. Rather, we are co-owners of all of God's blessings for us in Christ Jesus. Then Paul reveals how this is possible. How is it possible that God would give to all people throughout the world the same blessings in Christ? He says, it's through the gospel. The gospel. That's just an old English word that means good news. And for there to be good news, that means there's also some bad news. And what is that bad news? The Apostle Paul said it this way in his letter to the Romans. There is no difference. There's no difference between Jew or Gentile or anyone else. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's the bad news. It doesn't matter if we've been a lifelong member of this church. It doesn't matter if we're from Zambia or from New London. We all stand convicted before God because we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But here's the good news. The good news is that God so loved the world, loved everyone in it, including you and me, everyone in New London, everyone in Zambia and throughout the world, so much that he gave his one and only son. And then God's son in his love did something for you and me. He kept God's holy law in your place and mine. He took the punishment for all of our sins when he went and died on the cross of Calvary. He conquered death for us all when he rose from the grave. He gives to us all that promise, whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And for many of us, he gave us the gift of life and salvation when he called us to faith and gave us his Holy Spirit. That gift of love he has set aside for all and wants to give to all. And then Paul goes on to speak about another great mystery. How is he going to get that good news out to everyone throughout the world? He could have used his holy angels, and they could have done it rather efficiently. He could have done it himself because he's the all-powerful Son of God. But here's the great mystery and joy. He has called you and me, his followers, to bring this good news to the world. As Paul says in our lesson, his intent was that now, through the church, his family of believers, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known. Regardless of our past or what has happened in our lives, no matter what may be going on right now, he has called us into his family of believers, set aside forgiveness, life, and salvation for us all, and now gives us this privilege to be the sharers of this good news to the world around us. A lot of times during the beginning of the new year, people will have resolutions, things that they hope to do or promise to do. Most of them usually focus on ourselves, like eating better or getting better exercise. Well, in light of what Paul says here, maybe we can also focus on some other things, such as growing in our giving of our time and our talents and our treasures in the support of getting this message of Christ Jesus to the world, or reaching out to one more family or one more person in our lives with the good news of Jesus Christ. Or we ourselves personally growing in that word and getting to know God's word better so that we might be better equipped to share this good news of salvation throughout the world. Yes, the story of the Magi certainly is a mysterious one. There are some questions that will not be answered until we're with our God in heaven. But the answer to those questions really is irrelevant. The real meaning of that story is this, that God wants this good news of salvation, a savior of all people, to be shared with all people, even you and me. And he asks us to be sharers of that message throughout the world. What a joy, what a privilege. Amen.